Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey everyone, the run into the most exciting season in the history of football is underway. The mighty Reds are in the hunt for four trophies and we have got that covered from all angles, whether it's pre-game.
There are big similarities between United and Liverpool because of the history and the success and the demand to be the best.
Post-game, when Liverpool got better in the second half, it came because we unleashed Andy Roberts.
A plus. Yes, excellent work in the XG goal timeline graph.
Documentaries.
So why not take a trip back in time with me now as we look at the story of the crew.
Features. And interviews.
Yeah, I played against him in I think it was just after lockdown. We played Blackburn and played Liverpool at Anfield.
There has never been a better time to join Redmen Plus and get yourself more Redmen content, more cultural features, closer access to the city of Liverpool, the club, and the vibes on the streets of Liverpool as we head towards an unprecedented end to the 2022 season. What a ride it has been. Come and join us over on RedmenPlus.com. It is a streaming service built specifically for Liverpool fans, and we want you over there, whether you like video content or podcast content. We have got you covered in your native podcasting app. There are two tiers available. Club Captain gets you access to all of the content, but if you want more, if you want to get closer to the Redmen TV team, then you can join as a club legend, get access to our Discord group, and don't forget there's also a whole bunch of extra perks, including free merchandise. Oh yes, and live show tickets as well. Redmen Plus, the best independent Liverpool media streaming service on the planet today. Get involved. Head to redmenplus.com. Hey everyone, it is the build-up show. Liverpool, Chelsea, FA Cup final.
That is very much not my Twitter handle.
What?
That.
And there's a space in there. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Should be for the Brandon. But there you go. Yeah, please don't send the abuse. In fact, if you're going to send the abuse to Chris, please do feel free to send it to at Chris Space Page.
Some fella just getting levered.
Sound, yeah. And as we were preparing to go live, the big question was like, was not like, what Liverpool going to do? How are they going to line up? It was Chris postulating, what an EA. Hey, well done. That was the what are EA doing? Losing the rights to FIFA. And are they having a multi-arcing title plan to call everything EA Sports?
And then we had a conversation about how me and you are wearing completely different t-shirts.
Two completely different designs. I mean, there's no... Look at that.
Let me
edge over closer to you, Steve.
They're different, aren't they? I've got half a trainee, you've got full. Yeah. That kind of sums up our lives, really.
Yeah.
You're complete and I'm still on the journey.
Threads for Reds. Thank you.
Sliced
so much.
In half.
Thank you so much for Threads for Reds for providing us with some brand new tees ahead of course, the Champions League final. But the Champions League final is still a couple of weeks away. We've got another final to contend with first. It is the FA Cup final. It is Chelsea. It is Liverpool. It is at Wembley. Here we are, Chris Pajak. We've been talking for ages, you know, the quad this, the quad that. The Premier League is what it is. We can compartmentalise that, we can park that for a few days. Liverpool, if they want to take the steps towards immortality, then this is it now. No more talk. It's a game. There's a game to be won, and if Liverpool want to do more than just have the Carabao Cup, which would be sound,
it's the FA Cup final.
Yeah, and they've got to turn up, man. We know how tough the games have been against Chelsea this season. We've drawn three of them, basically, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, I remember going the Super Cup with you a couple of years ago and drawing that game and beating them out on penalties. I remember 1992, 93 when Arsenal beat Sheffield Wednesday in both cup finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time since then the two teams have contested both domestic cup finals as well. Let's hope that Liverpool can do what Arsenal did to Sheffield Wednesday back in the day and take both of them off them.
Nobody's ever wanted to be Arsenal so much, but also everyone's happy to not be Sheffield Wednesday at the same token as well. This is it, Steve, and it is. I'll be honest, it is hard to get super like hyper enthused about this even just a couple of days out. I'm sure that will build more and more as we get closer and closer, because look, three of us are sat here in Champions League t-shirts, and that's only because the Wembley stuff didn't arrive in time. But moreover, you know, that is a focus, and there is a little bit of, like, we have had our mood undercut a bit by City just being so goal ravenous in the league. But look, this is just an opportunity for us to go and win a trophy. It's a nice of a one-off game that we can kind of uncouple from everything else that's going on around it.
Exactly. You don't need someone else to do you a favour to win this one. You can just win the game and it's yours. So you're right to reference that. And like I say, it's Chelsea's biggest game now, isn't it? Because it's very unlikely they fall out of top four. I don't even know if they can anymore, because after the win against Leeds last night. So yeah, it's their biggest game. It isn't ours, but we need to treat it as such. Like you said, everything else will take care of itself when we get to it. Southampton will take care of itself. Villa against City will take care of itself. West Ham, all that kind of stuff. Doesn't matter now. Just go and beat Chelsea in a cup final. And Chris is right to reference the games between these two sides over the last couple of seasons, especially since Thomas Tuchel got there, have been very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
A goalie missing a penalty away from them winning the cup. We've had the Super Cup, like you mentioned earlier, that was under Lampard, but that goes to penalties as well. The two league games this season. And I think playing against better teams suits Tuchel a bit more,
yeah,
because it allows him to be a bit more defensive. And I think he knows he has to be, because I don't think he trusts his defenders completely.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason they play back three. It's because they don't trust any of them to play as a two. Because when they have played as a two at times, they've looked miles off it. So that, I think it suits him in that they know we don't have to have 60, 70% of the ball. The other team aren't sitting back, Liverpool are coming at us. And I think that kind of plays into what he wants, to be honest. And
well,
I think
most teams go through that as well, where they're all right defending and defending in numbers and hitting teams on the counter-attack. Yeah. But when you're asked to dominate every single game, take 60, 70% of the possession and break teams down, that's the difficult thing.
Yeah.
That's making the jump from the pack to the leaders. And that's why it's so hard to bridge that gap consistently.
No, I completely agree on that. And you're dead right. And look, the shades of, like, early days of Klopp under Liverpool, it's easy to kind of engineer one-off wins, and it's easier for Tuchel and Chelsea because they've got fantastic players. You know, I was looking at it, I genuinely felt they had the best squad going into the season. I thought their squad was better than Man City's, and it was mainly because of the attacking depth.
Yeah.
You know, they just had just piles and piles of footballers they could just throw in. They go, oh, we're missing X, Y, and Z. All right. Like, the idea that guy Callum Hudson-Odoi ended up as like some mad auxiliary wing back for them, when a couple of years earlier he was talked as being like one of the hottest attacking
talents. Like Sancho style.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Pulisic, he hasn't really ever kind of fully nailed down. He's had injury issues, of course, but, you know, they've got the likes of him.
Always looks good against us, though.
Hakim Ziyech as well, you know, has found his form a little bit in the back half of the season, but they've got tons and tons of these lads. So they've more than got the capability. And if you're then telling them, OK, well, actually, we're not going to use you in a go toe-to-toe kind of way, we're going to be resolute and we're going to hit on the counter-attack, then yeah, it absolutely suits them. And particularly because of how Liverpool play.
Yeah.
It goes back to, I was kind of alluding to, is us trying to catch up to Man City. We could go there and be the scrappy underdogs. You make yourself the scrappy underdogs. It falls a little on deaf ears when Chelsea are doing it, to be honest. I mean, we're talking about the reigning European champions still here. I don't think it's wrong to expect a bit more. But ultimately, that's what Tuchel's doing while he's getting them ready for a title challenge. He's making them a cup side.
Yeah, like I say,
exactly what Rafa did with us.
European, same as us, essentially. Champions League finalists, League Cup finalists, FA Cup finalists.
Yeah.
It's the exact same. They've just done it in a little bit of a different order. They're constantly in finals. Now, they haven't had a great record in them domestically recently, but they're always
it's
there.
It's the third year on the bounce, they're in it.
They're always here.
The FA Cup, I think.
Yes, Arsenal have beat them. Obviously, Leicester beat them. They've had League Cup defeats, obviously, early this season. Like I say, they're used to being in this situation. The difference is that they usually go in as the favourites. they didn't go into the Champions League final as a favourite, and that worked out for them in the end. Yeah. It suited the game, and it's the same here. I thought in that League Cup final, like I say, if Mason Mount could finish, they probably win. You know, their goalie as a worldie, but Mason Mount, they free him two or three times.
And their game plan's going to be the same.
Exactly. It's the late runner from midfield, and you're right to reference all those narrow number 10s, or you know, whatever you call them. Ziyech, Pulisic, Mount, whoever plays there, Werner, there's all of them. They in-to-out run down the middle, and it does work. Lukaku was that much away from being onside as well, so they've got a plan to play against us. It sprung them last time, a couple of times, like I say, on a different day, they could score those goals, so they need to be careful.
Yeah, and your hope is, of course, is that we're very good at learning from sort of mistakes and ills, you know, of course, I'll caveat this with the side that City put out in the FA Cup was different to the City side they put out in the league, Chris, but it felt like Liverpool had learned their lesson a little bit that time around, and look, having that League Cup final, it's going to be on the same pitch, it's going to be played in that same sort of environment, and I can't, as you're saying there, I can't see Chelsea trying to do anything significantly different in their approach. Your hope is put your faith in, you know, Jürgen and Pep and
yeah, I'll be honest, I don't think either manager are changing their approaches. I think both will be, you know, hoping for a similar type of game and just take their opportunities, because that's what you're preaching in the dressing room before the game. Play exactly the same way. You did everything right. You just need to finish your dinner when it gets to the business end of the pitch. Liverpool will be saying that. Chelsea will obviously be saying that. I think the difference is, I think it's easier when you go into a cup final to be a counter-attacking manager,
yeah,
because I just think that you're risking less. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's quite easy to do that in boxing even as well. If you're a counter-striker, you know, it's different to try and force the pace of the game, force the pace of a round or whatever, if you are carrying on with the boxing thing, because you're always there focusing on what you're doing and the other team's waiting for you to do what you're doing, and then they're going to pounce. So Liverpool have got to be incredibly focused and patient as well, you know, and it's how we pin them back in and how we, and that's where the Fabinho miss is the big miss for me, if he is going to miss this game, which looks likely, is him setting the edge almost of where they can go out to. I think that it's probably that's, if anything's going to change, that's the concern for me.
What Liverpool will be hoping for, really, is a replication of what they did in that semi-final, of take the nerves away by scoring early. You know, because, look, and it's not going to be, Chelsea are not going to play the same, it's not going to be the same type of game. And look, let's be honest, they're the second hardest team we could have had in this, and there's an argument that they might be the hardest because we've shown we can beat City, whereas we haven't shown we can beat Chelsea yet. But it's going to be fascinating to see how we do approach that first 20, 25 minutes. Is it a cagey affair? I can't imagine. It feels like it's going to be that NBA Jam style. We're going to try and lob it in behind you. You're going to try and lob it in behind us. And if someone crumbles and breaks, can one team run a score up or not? I mean, fingers crossed, because the semi-finals, it was beyond our expectations how Liverpool started that game. I would much greatly appreciate if we could do something similar this time. But the expectation is, if there's been nothing between these two teams in individual matches, there's a chasm between them in the league, but on individual matches, I think we probably need to prepare for this being an absolute slog.
Yeah, you know, if you don't learn from history, what was the point of going through it in the first place? Like, everything about this game tells you it should be a very, very close game. Like, coming up to 80 minutes and neither side is guaranteed that anything. That's how it feels. It feels like if anyone could do it, does, I'm not sure they could. I mean, maybe, but I don't think they could completely blow us away. I touch wood as I say that, but yeah, the flip side on that is a bright start's fine, but in recent weeks we've been the exact opposite.
Yeah,
you know, if they get an early goal, then their game plan is they're staunch in their defence. I think of that when Reece James got sent off at Anfield, they were amazing in terms of organisation, and you could see them doing that again if they got, you know, Villa go early against us, Villa Real do it. So we need to be switched on from the few. Mason Mount in that final, he has a very early chance as well that he could score. So It's all well and good saying, yeah, we need to be front foot, go and go at them, but we just need to make sure we're switched on, like awake first.
The problem for me is that it's 2-0 is the scoreline we need for them to change their game plan.
Yeah,
like you can be hit on a counter attack with the players they've got, and they can finish their chances. That can happen at any point. That can happen. They're not going to change at 1-0. To make them change their game plan, you need to get two goals up, yeah, and that's when I think it either goes one way or the other. You know, if they start then playing expressive football, trying to put the foot on it, trying to force it, something, that's when Liverpool can get a third. But at 1-0, they'll be quite happy if it was 1-0 after the first 10 minutes. So it's about that second goal for me.
I think it's an interesting point that you made there, Steve, because you're right. Liverpool have been a bit I've just been caught flat-footed a bit. I think Newcastle tried to do the same, and unfortunately Newcastle are crap. Yeah. So like they didn't have the tools to be able to really hurt us in that period. But they came at us flurry of energy, trying to get on top in early doors. Be interesting to see whether Chelsea actually do take that sort of approach themselves. What is it? What are Liverpool doing differently to counteract that?
I disagree. I think we've had one bad start, and that was against Aston Villa, to be honest with you. Obviously, Villarreal, but everything else. I've watched those 10, 15 minutes again, right? And there's mistakes, but we're not playing badly. You know what I mean? So for the one at the weekend, there's mistakes. Of course, there's mistakes, but that can happen at any point in the game. Mistakes can creep in. Liverpool aren't scoring those chances early, and that's what's clouding people's judgments. If you go back, and I've watched the first 10 minutes of a few games recently again, they're not actually playing badly. Mm-hmm. It's just that the result isn't going your way after maybe those times.
I think there's been cases of switching off a little bit. Or
yeah,
not,
mistakes.
And that's what I'm saying. That's unlike us. It's just like, I don't know whether it's nerves. It could be nerves. Like the human beings at the end of the day, you're talking about the quad and stuff. That's always been on the table. Villarreal, I think, is a bit different because they had not. They were just, that was their game plan. It's just to go and absolutely blitz us. I don't think Aston Villa's was. It was just a situation presented itself where Liverpool made a couple of really uncharacteristic errors. So
take the fucking offside out of it, and Liverpool had a really good start. That game,
and that's a good point. Yeah, well, yeah. It's a good point. If he just sticks his flag up, you're right. So. I don't think it's anything mad.
They had about 1.4 XG and about one came in the first 3 minutes from three shots that probably shouldn't have counted.
That's the thing I think is that it's felt frantic every kick for the first 5 minutes of every game, and us and the opposition.
But this is what I mean, and this is what I said. And Villa, for me, Villarreal is the Liverpool were playing the right passes, they were playing them poorly, and that was a thing that was that typified that first half for me, because I was like, oh wow, yeah, and then the ball wouldn't reach the man or the man wasn't alert to it. I don't know whether that's being switched on or whatever. And what was noticeable at Aston Villa is I don't think we were very brave with the fullbacks in that first half either. I mean, it's telling that the biggest moment we create is when Trent gets beyond the line of the 18 yard box and cuts it back to Naby, and I do sometimes think that about where are we trying to take a game down to 45 minutes sometimes. Not like we're playing defensive football, but we're not going necessarily as gung-ho into stuff. And I wonder whether that's just Liverpool are very good at figuring games of football out, but that's normally on an expectation that teams are not going to come at us and not going to press us. I think we've been caught a little cold in those games. And you're right, look, if the chance with Aston Villa gets flagged, fine. But Liverpool do feel at sixes and sevens for that first 15,
but we've been changing our midfield every single game. Yeah. And the biggest difference is Thiago plays completely differently to any other midfielder that you put in there. So you look at Thiago's average position, he's normally next to Fabinho by the halfway line. You look at Kurt Jones's from the game at the weekend, and he's almost where the number nine plays, in like a false nine, 10 position. Now that's your left-sided midfielder. Like that's a big difference, 20 yards on the pitch. Yeah. Liverpool couldn't put the foot on the ball against Aston Villa. One of the midfielders was miles up by the striker for most of the game.
And I thought Fowler had a stinker as well.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Yeah, it didn't help as well. So we actually looked better when Jordan came.
And the Villarreal, the Villarreal one's the one where I thought we played badly, by the way. And Thiago starts in that game, and he was uncharacteristic in how he played, but every lad was, and they were taken by the occasion and everything else. For the other games, I don't think we were that bad, to be honest.
No, and you don't want to be too negative, because we're still brilliant. We're the favourites, and rightly we should be as well. And as much Chelsea can cause us problems, but then the flip side is we can cause them an array of problems. We've got world class footballers all over the pitch. They've got midfield injury issues, which we're going to touch upon as well. So there's. It's an intriguing one. The thing is, mate, if you just said to me now, where are we going to be on 75 minutes? I'm probably going to say level. Mm-hmm. Like that would be my as a rough guess. I hope it's not. I hope we have just blitzkrieg them, but yeah. I just don't see it.
Well, I've said this plenty of times in big games like that. You set yourself up to be more disappointed with success when you set the bar so high.
It's why City was so good. It was so unexpected to go into that lead.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, and we want to be in that kind of mentality again. I say, I was hoping that we'd see something during every one of them Chelsea games that said we were much better than them. And to be fair, you know, Stamford Bridge, we very nearly got that until it all sort of crumbled and their intensity got away from us a little bit in that game. I think it's possible. I do think we're better than them.
Yeah.
But we have. There's not enough demonstrable evidence there to say this is going to be a good. This should be fine for Liverpool. We're going to have to fight for every inch of this.
Worst teams than Chelsea have ran us close recently.
Yeah, exactly.
The big thing for me is it's what does beating them in two finals do to them already? You know, you know, massive NFL fan yourself, the Cowboys and the Bills from the 90s. You know, they play them three times and get beat by them three times or something in the Super Bowl.
Cowboys. And the Rundies.
The Bills. The Buffalo Bills, Paul.
The Buffalo Bills.
It was three times, wasn't it? Did they make it to four in the end and they lost all four, didn't they, in the mid-90s? And it's that thing is, what have we got on them mentally now? They've lost the Super Cup to us. They're miles behind us in the Premier League. They're out of the Champions League and they're playing the fellas that beat them in the last two cup finals that when they've played them. So,
and what does that do? And what does he do if it goes to a penalty shootout as well?
Mendy, first
pen. Well, he brings Kepa on, doesn't he? That's what he does.
That's what I mean. Does he do that? Yeah, does he do
100%,
that again?
100%.
No chance. That's mad.
He will. And he'll double down on it.
You reckon?
100%. Unless, who knows where the sun
is. Unless he's a shithouse, is that what you're saying?
No, unless they've had to use the subs.
I was going to say, to play 120 minutes at the end of the season like this.
He might have had to use the subs.
I think you use your five subs in extra time regardless. Saving one. Oh, it seems a bit mental because they're going to get legged on Saturday. And if he goes 120, they're getting legged for 120 minutes.
If he's got the sub available, he will use it.
Do you still get the extra sub and extra time on top of the fact?
So I think if he gets the sub, I think he uses it, to be honest, personally, because he said it's an analytical decision. It's not an emotional decision. So why would you analytical?
So yeah, you've made that seem like bullshit if you don't do it again. Yeah.
Why would you then?
He can back out of it by saying the lad's tired in at half time and extra time. I'm going to put.
Yeah,
that's how you use it before you get asked.
You just say to someone, "Do us a favour, oh yeah, I'm sitting there, lad. As you're walking off, do us a favour."
In terms of who Chelsea haven't got available, N'Golo Kanté is rated as 50-50 for the game on May 10th. They're saying we are fighting for Georgie and we're fighting even Golo for tomorrow, but it would be close.
That was for the
midweek game. Callum Hudson-Odoi ruled out, and at the moment Mateo Kovacic is ruled out.
I'd be amazed if he plays Dan James. That was I don't even seen it.
It's bad.
If I'm Kovacic, I'm absolutely raging at that. Like, it's one thing to go out of a final like Fabinho has with a hamstring. It's for someone to boot you out of a final. When we Liverpool hat on, Dan James might have done us a bit of a favour there then generally. I don't mean it because Kovacic has been really good against us.
Yeah.
He's, more often than not, you've got man of the match in the tour. He scores a worldy of a goal. I thought he was very, very good in the fight. He's been very good against us, so it looks like he'll be out. I'd be amazed if he's back from that. His ankle's over here on the pitch.
And you might end up, if they rush him back for this, that's going to be an interesting conversation. I'm going to talk about Fabinho in part two, but, you know, me and Neil Jones on Geno Insights had a bit of a chat about this, about you often find in finals, like a lad gets rushed back. Like the one for the FA Cup final was Middlesbrough rushing Ravanelli back and he was just nowhere near, but they had nothing like his quality. And this could be a Kyle Walker, Real Madrid style situation for Kovacic, where do they strap him up, dose him full of painkillers and push him out on the field?
And they might have to if Kante and Jorginho aren't available. Flip side is the others are being rushed back as well. You know what I mean? What are they coming in? Because they've missed a couple of weeks now, Kante and Jorginho, haven't they? So that's obviously a difficult one. What did it say about Alonso? Because Alonso was a doubt
nothing
as well.
Nothing on Alonso.
And obviously with Chilwell being out, he did his cruciating, didn't he, ages ago?
So
Alonso, I heard, was a doubt. So.
Well, he played against Leeds. He was fucking useless. But he battered them in the end, to be fair. But Jorginho played, but Kante is the one. I think you could probably rule Kovacic. I'd be amazed if Kovacic played. It was bad. It's the other way around. Are they going to just patch Kante? Now they've lost Kovacic, are they going to patch Kante up and just throw him out there?
There's no way
he can be 100%. There's no way.
In terms of the 11 that Chelsea played on the Wednesday night, it was Mendy in goal. There's a back three of Rudiger, Christensen and Chalobah. Marcus Alonso was left wing back, Reece James right, centre mid pair of Kovacic and Jorginho, and Pulisic and Mount were behind Lukaku. And then obviously with the subs going on, Ruben Loftus-Cheek came on for Kovacic, Ziyech and Cesar Azpilicueta came on as well in that one, and you imagine Azpilicueta will be straight back in the right side of the back three.
Yeah, they'll bring Christensen off, won't they? They'll bring Christensen off as well, you would think.
And for Thiago Silva will come back in. You imagine, the Lukaku stuff's interesting in this. We've not really talked about him yet. It's interesting that everyone's so desperate to write him off, and I had to just for my own sense of just gathering where he's at, want to see what kind of form he's been in. He scored three in his last two, and I know it's you know, it's Wolves and Leeds and how much they've got left to... Well, I know Leeds, I've got lots to play for, but they're shit.
And they keep playing with 10 men.
And they keep...
A bit of a problem at the moment for them, actually.
Basically taking their own players off the field. But he bagged 2 against Wolves and 1 against Leeds as well. So I'm not in on this idea of, like, let's laugh at Lukaku or whatever.
Mate, he's that close to scoring in the final against us. Like, it was nice.
What their game plan is, he's perfect for them as well. Like, if they're looking for a bit more control or whatever, they play Havertz, I think, though. But if they're looking to try and get someone in behind, Werner and Lukaku, I don't know how well they play together, but they were the two that played together against Wolves. Yeah. And if you're thinking about the speed of goals in behind, Werner and Lukaku were the ones that they scare me.
And it's funny because people go on about Lukaku because... I think everyone wanted him to be Drogba Mark II, and he never was. And I think Mourinho saw that in him somehow, and he wanted that to be him at Man United, and it never really suited him. The Lukaku, that's the best Lukaku, is the one that plays, like, to use a lesser example, but like Djibril Cissé. Have him chase stuff down.
Jamie Vardy, mate, fucking whatever. Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? That's what he is. Just because he looks different doesn't mean he is.
Yeah, just because he's like 6'3" and 22 stone or whatever, he looks like he should be the perfect, complete target man centre forward. But his touch is not good enough, and never has been good enough for that.
You see the goal he scores last night? I mean, he should have buried that.
4 times.
He had to have 7 touches before he eventually gets it in the back of the net, because his first touch, as it always has been, is fucking boiled shite.
Yeah, he's a danger. I don't think he will start. I think Havertz starts, because I think they want the Havertz goes deep and the midfielders go behind him. That just makes too much. They've had success. He's done it every time they played. So why would they change now? It's more interesting of who those wide guys are. Probably one will be Mason Mount, you would think.
100% the form he's in as well.
Yeah, and then who do you put in the other one? Me. They've got a lot of options, to be fair. Like I say, you've got Ziyech. Loftus-Cheek's amazed out of nowhere, and he was nowhere for a while. He's back in. He might have to play centre mid if Kante's not available. So yeah, I think there's more questions around Chelsea's team than ours. Ours is just basically there's one spot up for available in our team now, and it's because Fab's out.
Yeah.
And who's going to fill it?
Yeah, and absolutely. I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek's a really good player, by the way. Yeah, you know, and he's kind of fallen foul of injury and then just not being fashionable enough, I think, at Chelsea sometimes, but for me he's got everything as a midfielder. So the idea, of course, yeah, look, I agree I think Kovacic is brilliant. I really do. I just think
always against us as well,
and Kante's obviously class, and Jorginho as well. But you could do worse than if they have to put Ruben Loftus-Cheek in. We saw him the other week bagging a goal when everyone's going, oh, it's Loftus-Cheek, whatever. So yeah, and a bit more physicality as well in that regard as well. We've got some super chats. We'll go through a couple of them before we go to our break. JPJR just sent us £1.79. Thank you so much. That's lovely. Lachill with £5 super chat says, finals never make great games. It's going to come down to timely subs, injuries, and the refereeing performance. We want a game that will flow. Yeah, the thing is, there's not really any great sense in like time wasting, I guess, in this, unless Chelsea are feeling like our game plan is purely to frustrate Liverpool. You know, there's a finite amount of time on the clock for both teams to win it. And again, a lot this might boil down to what have you got and how fit your players are. I don't think either team's going to want it to go to extra time, but might Liverpool, Chris, be slightly happier with it going to extra time, just in terms of what we've got available?
Not a chance. Too many games this season, too many games still to play. Had the game been after Man City's league game, maybe. You know, with them playing on the Sunday and us playing on the Saturday, that changes things for me. I think Liverpool want to wrap this up in 90 minutes because I think he'll use most of his subs again. I think he'll continue to do what he's done. I think I know what the side's going to be for both teams, to be honest with you. Question marks maybe over who the midfielders for Chelsea. My guess would be that it's going to end up being Kante and Jorginho for this one. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a question mark over Liverpool's midfield. I know we'll talk about that a little bit later and stuff, but 90 minutes has got to be. We've just had too many games of footy.
Yeah, so extra time it is. JPGR 179. Discuss Hendo's 6 and Naby ? Midfield, please. We will do that in part 2. And John Lee, David Black, just sent a super chat in as well. Thank you so much, my friend, who is not a Tory, Chris.
I didn't say he was a Tory. I said it's a Tory name.
So he had many first names. Sorry, Josh.
It is quite. It's like Dewsbury Hall for Leicester. Like, he might not be a Tory, but it's a very Tory name. But, and he plays for Leicester, so maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay, Sal, we're going to take a very short break. We've got a trivia question in the meantime. Nice and simple, nice and easy, relatively speaking. Name Liverpool's starting 11 from our last FA Cup final win. The 50 greatest Liverpool players of the Premier League era, a two-part special streaming now on Redmen Plus. Head to the redmentv.com right now to watch all episodes. Hey, welcome back to the FA Cup final build-up. I asked you a trivia question before we went to the break, which was to name the starting 11 the last time Liverpool won the FA Cup. Who was in goal?
Reina.
Correct. Who was right back?
Finnan.
Correct.
Sammy. Carragher.
Yep.
Risa. And Hippier and Risa.
Yep.
Gerard Alonso.
Yep.
Sissoko.
Momo Sissoko.
Kuhl.
Harry Kuhl.
Cisse. Crouch.
Well done. Absolutely fantastic.
Nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Cromcam comes off the bench at one
go
point.
Go on, actually, yeah, go on. Who comes?
Haman comes on.
On Didier Man. In what minute?
Oh, no.
I'm just checking whether you've got it open in front of you.
No.
Haman
defo comes on.
Haman comes on
because everyone was like, when he came on and changed the game in the Champions League final, why isn't he starting this one?
Jan Kronkamp and
Morientes come on,
Fernando Morientes.
No surprise he never took a pen, did he? Morientes didn't take one of the penalties at that, I remember.
To be fair, he was crap.
He was awful, he was.
Note according to LFCHistory.com, Kuhl goes off injured for his third Liverpool Cup final in a row.
Who'd have thunk that?
Oh, Harry. Yeah, there you go. If you got that right, you're absolutely brilliant.
I remember Sammy Ippi taking a penalty. I'm thinking, why is Sammy Ippi taking a penalty? And like, not the guy we've signed from Real Madrid to like think what's going on here. Like.
It's mad how that happens sometimes, isn't it? Like, just players, you're like, yeah, they'll be all over this, and they're just a bit like, yeah, I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna stand back here a second, and then oh, you've picked your penalty takers.
Oh, really? Who's used to take the pens at Madrid, not me.
So, okay, cool. Yeah, and just a worthwhile mention for you guys as well in terms of content to keep you up and entertained in the meantime between now and kickoff. At Wembley, we've got loads of stuff over on Redmen Plus. I chatted to Michael Thomas, who scored the opener and set up the deciding goal against Sunderland in the 92 Cup final, to get his story in and around that game. Really, really good stuff. We had a debate show special. And Neil Jones on Journo Insights as well. We had a bit of a chat around Fabinho and Kovacic, as well as a bunch of transfer stories, including Sadio Mane, potentially to Bayern Munich or not. You'll have to watch or listen to that to check it out. All available in video and in audio podcast form in your native podcasting app if you subscribe on Redmen Plus. Anywho, look, we've kind of danced around it enough. There's no way other than to describe Fabinho being out as a huge, huge blow. Chris, you could see it in Jürgen's face in his post-match interview for Villa. It doesn't even need to be like a super serious injury at this point. We know he's in a race against time for the Champions League final, and let's hope that's his focus. But you can see he's gutted. He knows how important he is to us.
He does, and the rest of the squad know that, and that's what actually gives me a little bit of confidence in Jordan Henderson, because when everyone's looking around thinking and worrying about Fabinho, that's when your captain can stand up and prove why he's still around. Every time that Fabinho does tend to drop out injured, Endo comes in and plays incredibly well in that six.
Yeah.
He plays it in a different style, don't get me wrong, but it's certainly something that he can do. Would I like to see a full season of it? No, probably not. But in short bursts, it's certainly a role that Jordan Henderson can fulfil.
I also think, mate, like, you referenced before that Liverpool always, you know, injuries around cup finals. Yet there's a reason there's always injuries around, because at the end of the season, you are going to get injuries. You're going to go, Chelsea will be saying, cry me a river. You know what I mean? Like, because you've got one lad out injured at the moment. Like,
they've got three lads that they've knocked out over.
They're left backs out for the season. They've got the midfielders out. They've got another one question. So it is what it is. You've got to just be able to cope with it. Of course, it's a blow. It's a huge blow, because Liverpool's best 11 has got Fabinho in. There's no doubt about it. But your team shouldn't crumble because you're not with that one fella.
Yeah.
You know, that just can't happen. You've got to get over it. Like, you referenced the Champions League final, you know, we went into that without a few players. Naby was sitting watching at home with his crutches. You know what I mean? Like, shit happened. You've got to be able to get over it, kind of thing.
I do, yeah.
And at least Liverpool, again, the small measure of it happened on Tuesday. So they've got their head around. They've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Jordan Henderson knew the second Fab went off, I'm playing number six in the cup final. Like, he knows it's not a last minute. It's not Thiago in the warm up. Touch wood. Like, again, the game plan all the way through this week now will be Jordan's the six. Because, like, if someone's 50-50, like, say Kante, and he's a game time decision, Thomas Tuchel's got to do two plans. He's got my Kante plan and my non Kante plan. Yeah. At least now we know Jordan's the six. Yep. And then you can work around it. It's not ideal. It's crap. Fabinho's brilliant, but
there's a bit of a false notion, I think, that the best 11 for teams plays all the time, and I always paraphrase this. It's a great article about, like, the best 11s that never played together, and you could say name that great Arsenal side of the early noughties, and you name it, and it's like it literally never played a game of footy because someone was always out injured, and that's kind of where you're at. This is what it is to be a top football club. You lose players and you cope with it, and moreover, Chris, someone else steps up. And look, it might be the thing that undoes Liverpool. That might be the thing that gives Chelsea the key to the game. But the flip side of that is another lad's going to play football for Liverpool in an FA Cup final and has an opportunity to write himself into Liverpool history.
Absolutely. And look, the midfield's going to be the key battleground, I think, isn't it? Certainly when you think of what three he's going to play for Liverpool. I mean, judging it on the most recent performances, it's probably the most obvious that it would be Hendo in the six, Keita and Thiago.
Naby, I wouldn't bank on Naby being fit, though. He didn't look particularly comfortable at the end of that Villa game. I don't know what it was.
But he booted Tyrone Mings or...
It was like he was holding his pelvis in that one.
Yeah, so he went down a couple of times and I was there and he limped off the pitch as well. It wasn't like he was tying wings. He genuinely didn't look great. So I wouldn't even bank on him, like, being 100%.
He's fit, I agree with
you. If he's fit, he plays. If he's not...
I think that midfield, because in the absence of Fabinho, absolutely picks itself. Yeah. And I think... Because I think we all want to replicate as best we could what we had against Man City, you know, of having the Naby, Thiago, a bit more fluid, a bit more free flow, and playing more of our game type thing. Now, whether with Jordan Henderson in there and having... I mean, look, we said this is not a disrespect to Jordan Henderson. We're slightly less secure with Henderson. I think we're actually a bit more fluid going forward with him in the six, but it's whether we feel the need to counteract that with our other midfield choice. I don't think we will. I think it's as simple as Keita comes in.
With the way the midfield lines up, right, and I've mentioned a couple of times over the last few weeks about Thiago's positioning next to the DM. That's when Liverpool's defensive record got better as well, by the way.
Yeah.
When Thiago gets that run of games, when Van Dijk's form picks up, you know, it's no coincidence Fabinho's not firefighting on his own anymore. And Jordan Henderson, for me, he can play six on his own, but with having someone next to him as well, that makes it a little bit easier. And he doesn't have... When he played a year for us in the six, he was the fulcrum of the entire side. Now it's a case of Hendo, give the ball to Thiago and let's move on from there.
Give it to Naby as well.
Or give it to Naby. You know what I mean? There's other lads that can step up in his absence in the eights nowadays, and that just changes things as well for me. So I'm really excited to see how they do line up. I think Keita could cause them a few problems, to be honest with you. If he makes some late runs, obviously he has that opportunity, doesn't he, where he slaloms through players the other night against Villa, misses a big one, but it wouldn't surprise me if he puts one away.
And also, in terms of what Naby was doing in the League Cup final, just being an upsetter for Kante, you know, that's the thing. You want to restrict what he does, and I find it mad how he's evolved as a midfielder. I always thought it was crackers when they took him out of being a DM and let him run riot. He shouldn't be able to be that good and still doing, but he is, and he has a real way of upsetting what we do defensively. And whether it is a thing to cater of going, you know what you did in the Carabao, go and do that again, but actually this time can you go better, can you be that plus, can you add more strings to your bow? All that being said, there's every chance that he just go, he puts James Milner in.
I was about to say, I wouldn't be shocked if Milner starts. If Naby's 100%, it's not a question for me, but if he's 80, he might just go with Milner to bring Naby on. I think if you ask Jurgen Klopp, when the final whistle goes in a cup final, who do you want on the pitch? Milner's often wants, he would like to have James Milner on there. Again, you've got to be thinking, if he's thinking penalties and stuff as well, that's always in consideration. But, you know, some of the biggest games in the history under Jurgen Klopp, James Milner, he hasn't always started them, but he's often been on the pitch at the end of the
Carabao Cup final. Comes on 80 with Harvey Elliott, Dunny and Diogo Jota. You know, so that's exactly right. He's there at the end.
In terms of that pecking order, because we saw Kurt Jones play in midweek, and I, for some, were a bit shocked by that. But it wasn't a shock because he's above a couple of other lads in that. But that this is where we're kind of at. The obvious midfield, you take Fabinho out, and it's just as simple as Henderson, Thiago, Keita. That's the midfield that starts.
Yeah.
If there's a further doubt beyond that, or he wants to do something else, then Keita will not make that game for either fitness or because he'll want more. He wants something else.
It can't be Jones, and it can't be Jones and Thiago, because they're both.
And this is the point: is like who then is there? Is he going to throw Harvey Elliott in out the cold from nowhere? I don't think there's a single chance that happens.
It's Nola.
Same with Oxlade-Chamberlain. He doesn't come out the cold to start the FA Cup final.
43-1.
Oh yeah. Again, Neil Jones was saying just play 4-2-4 from the start and go for it. But it also said, if you're going to see that, that'll be Southampton when we do that.
Goal difference chasing.
Yeah, fuck it. You know, but moreover, because we need to make sure the midfield is rested with one less, you know, first team option. So, yeah, like who is in there? It's going to be Milner, and there's going to be people who are going to roll their eyes at that. But that's
I agree, by the way. But the only thing that would concern me if I was Jurgen Klopp and I was putting Milner on from the start is the fact that if it goes 120, I have to change someone in the middle of the park at some point during the game. Now he might be okay with that, and that's absolutely fine. But like, I'd be a little bit like, oh, wouldn't mind him at the end there, you know, Milner, if there comes to penalties.
Yeah.
Rather than like, is he going to play 120 and then take a pen?
If that's the case, let's say, again, we're talking in hypotheticals where Naby's not fit, but it might be that Naby's. Naby
and Thiago for me are the 2 8s because of they're playing a back five essentially.
They're the two lads
who can get out, get chalk on the boot when they're pressing, you know what I mean, and get back in again. That's the thing, that's the difference for me, is they press so well.
Yeah.
And high up the pitch.
Sorry, can I change the question slightly a little bit now? Like, who's playing centre half next to Virgil for you?
Canate.
It's a coin toss for me, to be honest with you. He's played Matip against them this season. He's played Konate against them this season.
Depends who he thinks is starting.
Yeah.
And I think the pace thing, regardless, even if it's Havertz, it's going to be Werner. And I think just having that extra recovery pace, I think he'll go
Matip's
with Konate.
Matip starts. He starts Carabao. And scores. He scores. It's a dog, a horrendous of a decision.
See, the pace thing's interesting because I can come down on both sides of that argument as well. I think Konate's faster, don't get me wrong. But I think Matip and Virgil's understanding of the back line is better.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, it's great. Canate's got the recovery pace, but wouldn't you just rather him be offside?
Yeah. And also, if you look at the Tottenham game, I thought we missed Matip's on the ball ability. They were just happy to let Canate have it.
Yeah.
And yet, Canate in that game, I think I'm right in saying, played the ball into the box more than any other player on the pitch. I think it was 8 times.
Yeah, he did. go back to Villa. I thought Matip was brilliant with the ball.
Yeah.
Again, and he has got the jaw, Matip. He loves the slalom, doesn't he, as well? So,
yeah.
It's an interesting one. I think he's going to go Konate, personally. I think that's why Mata plays on Tuesday. But
the difference for me, and where it might come down to, is Konate's more of a threat off set pieces.
And the big pitch at Wembley, yeah. He might be easier to cover across and stuff like that.
We see this in the semi, don't we? You know, and that little glut of headed goals from Konate is a match-winning moment, that.
Yeah.
And look, I'm talking about John Matip, who literally scored in the week, you know, and I'm about to say what I'm about to say, but I don't think we're in particularly fluid goal scoring or lethal predatory goal score, goal finishing sort of form at the moment. Our attackers, Salah's a bit off, Jota's a bit off, you know, Mane is, but Diaz has still not clicked 100% into that yet. So having Konate there is just that. Yeah.
The flip side of that is, I thought it was interesting in the League Cup final that Konate was his response to Lukaku coming on, was to get Big Ibu on.
Yeah.
So if he thinks Chelsea aren't going to start with Lukaku, which I don't, he might do the same and go, right, Joel, you're playing. If they bring Lukaku on with 15 to go, I'll make my sub as well. Maybe it's a chess match.
Well, this is the difference. The five subs to three.
You can sub your centre half off.
You can literally change. Yeah, you don't have to.
Imagine he brings Lukaku, starts him, and takes him off after one because we've started Konate all of a sudden.
Tuchel just proper Tuchel's
chess match.
Yeah, Tuchel.
That's
like you and Ross in the draft.
That was brilliant.
After to kill each other instead of just picking the best players.
yeah. It's but that's a possibility, and that's an interesting discussion. It's. Kai Havertz is very clever, isn't he? And whether you need a little bit more nous in Matip and it being the final. I mean, I'm not against the idea that Matip just plays now this game and then plays the Champions League final and Konate plays the other.
See, I think Konate's going to play the Champions League final. It's the physicality thing.
It's the five sub thing for me. I look at Leicester when we bring Konate on to shut that game down, bring him on late, and all of a sudden the ball stops getting into our final, like 40, 50 yards of the pitch, because they're going long looking for someone. Konate's bigger than you, he's stronger than you, you know, he's taller than you, he's better than you, and he's also fresh. And I wonder whether there's something down the line, you know, as we said, we've seen that in the Carabao Cup final. I've got a vision of that for the Champions League final when Benzema's running on empty, and they maybe, what did they decide to do? They decide to stick with him, and then you go, okay, well, we'll bring Konate on and just basically nullify him by that point, hopefully. Might be speaking a bit too out
of, I think Konate's star, and I think the Wembley pitch is a consideration in this. He gets across the ground easier. I think he'll start Konate personally.
I'm
still not ready to choose.
It's just a guess. I mean, I don't care either way. I mean,
because I thought, he starts Matip midweek, maybe two games on the bounce for Joel Matip will be it. He's got his eye in, he's coming back in. But then you're like, oh, he played Konate a couple of games and then you give him a week off. Maybe that's the one. And there's just nothing between them. And to be honest with you, I actually don't think it matters.
Yeah, what's interesting actually with Liverpool, the one who's nailed on to come back in is Andy Robertson. He wasn't injured. He was just completely giving the game off, which I thought was really interesting. They've just gone, right, Sam, mate, you don't even have to warm up. You don't have to go through the process. Just rest and relax. Perfect. Simicastro's has been sound. I like
it. I thought he was, you know what, bar a mad minute at the start when he decides to turn into like Mortal Kombat. Other than that, I thought he was good.
Yeah, when he treated the 18-yard box like a Royal Rumble.
Skittles, can I take Virgil out with you?
Ridiculous. Definitely been playing that Wii Sports, hasn't he? He's just thrown himself at Virgil's legs.
He's fine. He's absolutely fine, but it's interesting that we play Chelsea fair, you know, right in early doors in the season, and we chuck Robertson straight into that game, and I thought it was a bad call because Simicast was up and running, he was in form, and I think we suffered a little bit for it. Great. Now it's like, no, Andy Robertson is completely and utterly, we were here December putting polls out and getting 50-50 on who starts left back for Liverpool, and this is not a disrespect to Simicast, it's just that Andy Robertson is just
interesting. Though December we were doing them polls, he starts against Chelsea at the Bridge on the 2nd of January, Costa Simicast, and that's how good he was playing at that point of the season as well, wasn't he?
And we had a few of them, you know, just in terms of the attack as well, just to move on to that really. I think the attack until he picks itself here.
Yeah.
Diaz,
yeah.
Mane,
yeah.
Salah.
Yeah.
I, you know, the only alternative, I don't know if you're about to say this, D, is if he's got like a 60 minutes for Bobby in here that he might just chuck out just to throw the cat amongst the pigeons.
No, I don't see. The only thing that I would mention is like Rudiger's done well against Mo Salah. I know Salah's obviously got goals against
Chelsea.
He's got
one eye on his move.
But, well, I was about to say, he knows he's not playing for Chelsea anymore, so that's always in his mind. And I'm not sure, I might be thinking the same, I open up. But that's an interesting battle because Rudiger's won that battle, I think, over the last couple of games, against, especially with this back three that they've got now. It allows him basically to go and just rough up Mo Salah. You know, the goal he scored at Stamford Bridge comes from literally that. He beat Mo Salah in a battle. So I thought he did the job on him in the League Cup final as well. And I was shocked at the end of that game. It was Salah who was the last one on. I think Jürgen again had half an eye on penalties in that game as well. But I think Mo he's not in great form, I think that's fair to say. He got given Tuesday essentially off. He had to come on for 10 minutes and didn't really have to do a whole lot in the end. So I think it's time for Mo now.
Mo Salah needs to stop talking about how good he is and just go back to being really good. And I like the confidence of like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but it loses impact.
Score a goal, please, Mo.
Like Rafa coming out ahead of the Chelsea semi-final about, no, we're going to win, we're going to the final here, and we were like, go ahead. But you don't, that's it, quiet now, back to business. Sorry, before anyone else shouts at Chris or us in the comments, Robbo was suspended for the Chelsea game, which is why Simicast played. I'd forgotten that.
It was the COVID carryover.
Yeah, because he missed the game. I didn't say anything about why.
You just said you played, lads. Yeah. Am I right? Thank you, I am, because Robertson was suspended.
COVID carryover meant that he missed the Chelsea game.
Yeah, definitely. Carry on.
Why did Kelleher play?
Because Alisson had COVID.
Is that Alisson was a COVID case?
Yeah, and my
pet. And the manager had COVID as well. Literally, we didn't have a manager at the time as well. It was a mad one. I'm going back to the previous conversation about the front three. I thought Diaz was really, really good in that final against them. Mm-hmm. It just so happened that he was very new to us as well, and he still looked bright. Now he should, in theory, be even more integrated into the side. It was Chalobah, wasn't it, who played on the right that day, and I thought he had him on toast quite a little bit, to be honest with you. It would be very, very interesting if he does that again. If the game plan is even more Luis Diaz focused, it should be. I think of the three of them at the moment, I know Mane's in amazing goal scoring form and brilliant to see that. But in terms of a build up play, I would like to see Liverpool go down the left more. Trent's there, obviously, he always is. But the Robertson, Thiago, Diaz trio looks really intriguing to me against what I'd say would be Chelsea's weaker side.
What are you saying, Azpilicueta, James?
It's good if it is that. It depends. I mean, he might not. Is he going to do both? Perhaps, yeah. I'd fancy our chance.
I mean, look, the issue with that, I'm right in thinking Azpilicueta starts right wing back and Chalobah starts right centre back, which is different. I think
if you've got Azpilicueta, I think Azpilicueta starts right centre.
I mean, look, to the point
with Reece James at right back, so you've got to try and pin him back, try and keep him.
We're reaching a point with Diaz though, where there's not a bad opponent for him to go up against. We say, okay, so they're putting a faster wing back. Okay,
it's we'll the put options a faster that Liverpool have got is why Diaz starts. By the way, is because Jota's not in great form. Mm-hmm. That's why he starts. Because Firmino's injured,
he's definitely going to play. It's more a case of, I think the game plan should be more Diaz driven. I would like to see us do that. Just go that.
I'd start right first 5 minutes and go Salah, and get them going that way. And then the game plan for me is Diaz down the other side for the rest of the game. Just get them thinking that you're going to Salah, and then start going
Trent
to Diaz.
The Trent to Diaz ball should always be on. It should be.
I think you're right. I think that front three again is absolutely nailed. I think I literally, with the exception of Matip or Konate, I think the team totally picks itself.
Yeah.
I just the only potential surprises in there are, again, it could be one or two of the centre halves, and it might be Milne against Jordan, depending on Naby. And you might, on the balance of probabilities, I think we're more likely to see Firmino than Jota. Because I think Jota's had his go. If Bobby's fit, it just might be that he's going back to something a little bit more tried and tested. My issue with the Diaz stuff is he's played a lot of football, and he's played a lot of football for us as well. And whether there's just something to having on 60 minutes, having something electric to bring into the game.
That's Jota though. That's where Jota comes in.
But I'm not sure Jota's that. That's the thing. Jota is your, maybe if it's tight and it's compact, and I don't think you can be. I don't think that happens at Wembley because it's such a big pitch.
I just don't think you can start a cup final worrying about late that. You know, you start the team and you think you're going to score the goals now.
Yeah.
Don't worry about 60 minutes. Make sure you win.
Yeah. And so, if you want someone like that on the left hand side, you move Mane out there, because when he was running with the ball on the left hand side against Villa again, he was looking absolutely electric. he was looking like the dribbler that he used to be.
He was excellent.
And that's what I think that's the alternative. Is it's Bobby to start? It's Bobby Mane from the left, Salah from the right, and he goes with that.
The OG front three.
And it depends, but as I say, my feeling was what the Chelsea semi-final was like, it showed us what his new ideal Liverpool team looks like.
He wants Diaz playing left.
He does want Diaz. I agree. Yeah.
And he doesn't look, and to your point about him playing a lot of football, of course he has, but he doesn't look like it. Like the other lads do. Like Salah looks like he's played a lot of footy. Yeah. Diaz doesn't right now, so keep him going.
Yeah, you're right. And in that regard,
can I have Tuesday off?
Diaz and Mane both look like they're more than happy to pick up the bat on Salah. I mean, Salah and Jota have both scored 7 goals, I think, since AFCON or whatever. They're both fine. They're ticking over. But neither of them, I would be looking at this game and go, they're definitely going to turn it on in this. They're both a bit like, of course they can turn it on. They're both absolutely amazing and I love them both to bits. Right now, Diaz and Mane look a little bit like, well, we're just going to go and do this. Yeah. If anyone else wants to join us on the way.
Diaz and Mane have just taken the baton off Jota and Salah. Jota
and
Salah. We got used to there. Do us a favour, lads. We're knackered. Can you just go and finish this off by winning us a couple of trophies, please? The Diaz sign has changed this season around. I think we can. It's safe. I think without him now, I think we would be looking leggy and a little bit. He's like the new lease of life. And you're right to reference. He's played a lot of footy, but I don't know if the footy at Porto he's played wouldn't have been intense as the flogging that Mo Salah's had. So I think that's where we're at
but
now.
The flip side of that, though, is that, like, the training's not there. You know, they're not getting the lads probably as fit as the Liverpool's pre-season training gets them. So it's, I think it comes down to a lot of natural ability with him. You know, Liverpool have picked this profile perfectly. They understand exactly what his capacity is, 440, and we're seeing it right now on the pitch.
And he's fucking brilliant. So that's the other option. Like, he's got that bit of, you're talking about like someone who could, if, I don't know, an FA Cup final moment, it feels like it's made for Diaz. This, like, it's, you're sort of announcing yourself as a Liverpool player. He's kind of done that, he has, but this could be the moment we got bloody hell. Remember when we signed Luis Diaz in January and 2 months later he was winning us the FA Cup?
The thing that also, the slight shortening of midfield options does also unleash, I think what we saw at Spurs, I think we made the wrong call bringing Naby on as the last sub in that one.
It's been Divock. Wow,
you know,
Divock.
But to the point now is that you've got Divock and Bobby Firmino, who make, they're both more likely to be chucked into this game at some point. And I would contend that if we've been able to, if we, you know, I don't think Firmino's not on the bench against Spurs, but if we've been able to bring him on, he would have been a better option in that one, and Divock would have been the better option. So there's definitely a twist or two left in Liverpool's season.
Was it 88 minutes he brings Keita on?
It was very,
against Spurs. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy late for a really small midfielder to be brought into the game for me.
Yeah.
You should score, though, so that's the flip side. Yeah. Just doesn't dummy one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there might be, I keep saying there might be one more Divock moment in the season. One would more. It shock you if we win 1-0 and it's Divock who scores? Not even. Why would you even doubt
that?
Yeah,
I think so, you know, just because I think he's saving himself for the Champions League final. Yeah, why Divock. Would he do it this early? Or could he do both?
He just do both.
Yeah, okay, let's have Divock do both.
Right, we're going to take one more short break. We're going to solidify our 11s and read through any super chats and comments and a couple of the bits and pieces. But yeah, we've got an amazing competition running over on Redmen Plus. Is a little bit more info on that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yes, get involved with our fantastic competition, an amazing competition prize each and every month for our Club Legend subscribers. We try to give away as much cool, unique and individual signed gear as we can, as well as getting all the amazing content that we do and all that. And yeah, plenty to keep you occupied in the countdown to kick off at Wembley. Right, we had a super chat come in from Liam Bergen. Says, we're the best team in the world. We just need to show it here and get a trophy haul we deserve this season. We need to stay focused and just win. Yeah, my secret sort of hope here, and it's not secret anymore because I'm saying out loud to thousands of people on the internet, is
just pretend you're not.
To some extent, yeah, just picture everyone naked. City doing what City have done. In some regards, it should put pressure on this game, more pressure, because now, well, you know, you can't win a quad, so you want to make sure you still win a trip, blah blah blah. I think it does give us a little bit of breathing room to some extent today. It's like, well, look, it's the FA Cup now. It's just, we worry about Southampton on Monday. You know, as Chris kind of mentioned plenty of times, if City happen to drop points against West Ham on Sunday, great. Well, you know, it still means fuck all, really. So does this game here just keep our heads, keep our nerves? I think we were nervous in Villarreal because I think you're halfway there,
halfway
done.
Lose.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas this is just a game of football.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't think the players will care too much what's going on there. They can't control that. It's a final. We did this with the League Cup. There was a lot going on around that League Cup, but we still compartmentalized. You see me say, and just play. You just play that game. Tuesday will take care of itself. You'll worry about Tuesday on Monday. Like this, it's an FA Cup final. Like, don't worry about anything else. When you leave Liverpool, at the end of your career, how many medals have you got? Because we've seen better, we've seen top players leave this club with very little. I agree with the subject there. It's like stack them now, be greedy now, because nothing's guaranteed. You're Everton's goalie away from snapping your centre-half, from being in a different battle next season. Yeah. Strike while the iron's hot.
Look at what's happened to Man City here, Chris. Now, they're now 100% focused on this, and Chelsea are 100% focused on the FA Cup. But Chelsea basically gave up the FA Cup to focus on the Champions League and then got knocked out the Champions League, and they've got no choice but to go for this kind of thing. Liverpool can't afford to take their eyes off this, and that's what I mean, is that Tuesday can be a bit of a... It can be a bit of fun, I think, because Tuesday's effectively a bit of a goal chase. You know, that's all that's going to be. If we've got even the fractional chance, we've just got to go and fucking play some mad footy.
Paul, there's no Tuesday. Yeah. This is it.
Yeah,
this is it. It's Saturday in the FA Cup final. There's no Tuesday. There's no that other team whose name I'm not saying on a build-up show for the FA Cup when we're not playing them. It is about Chelsea in the FA Cup. We've got two massive finals left this season. There'll be lads in that squad who've grown up dreaming of lifting this trophy. Jürgen's never lifted this trophy. It's the most prestigious trophy, cup competition in the world. That's what this is about. Not about the league. No. Why would you think about that? No one's thinking about that. Yeah. They're thinking about winning this cup, and then they'll think about what on earth they're doing midweek.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's good as well is that, again, touch wood, don't want to jinx it, like the Wembley hoodoo, that is, I felt like we had it for a while. I feel like Chelsea now are the ones who've got that, and we haven't had, again, touch wood again, like recent trips to Wembley have been much more pleasant. Chelsea are literally wearing a different kit because they're trying to reverse jinx their way out of it. They wore the yellow in the semi, so they got to the home team wearing yellow again, so that's another thing that they've got playing on them. You know, they've lost what, two FA Cup finals, three of the last five, granted they won one in there as well, but like they're used to being here, but they're also used to losing here as well. So that's something to consider, like mentality and stuff like that. Chris is right to reference it. Or can you just prey on those weaknesses? Oh, here we go again at Wembley. I think Mason Mount even said it, didn't he, after when they beat Palace. Like, I was finally so glad to get rid of that Wembley curse that we've got. Well, let's go and put it behind them again.
Yeah.
Beating Crystal Palace in a semi-final isn't what, you know, it's winning finals at Wembley. That's what it's about. So we've just edged them this season. We've edged them in close games on the penalty shootouts. We've turned our Wembley fortunes around. Can we then push that onto them a little bit more?
I think both teams have got an undercurrent there that can be exploited by either.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea that Liverpool's season could about, you know, from quad to not to effectively nothing, and again Chelsea doing a very similar thing as well. I know they've already got the World Club Championship box, so that's cool for them, of course. But there is a little thing of that where Chelsea are a bit of a mess, and you want them being, you know, they're not far. They're this game. This is their season in one game of football. There's nothing else for them to look forward
that's
to.
That's a mad thing, isn't it? Liverpool have been playing knockout football for weeks now.
Yeah.
They haven't had that opportunity, Chelsea, and their form's gone a little bit skew-iff because of the injuries that they've had to the players, don't get me wrong, but nothing is better than just winning games of football and having everything matter each and every time. Couple that with the fact that I just looked this up, Hendo started the last time we played Chelsea in an FA Cup final in 2012.
Wow.
Like, you know what I mean? When we were there, weren't we? Yeah. It was not a good day for us in the end. He'll want to put that right as well. Like, you know what I mean? Yep. 10 years ago, when Steven Gerrard's in the side, I looked at Chelsea side, it was a belter. Like, they had Lampard and Drogba and Terry and Cole and everyone. Liverpool did not have that calibre of players. But Jordan Henderson did start. So, look, I can't wait for this game. It's a bit mad that it's 4:45, but I get it with the Championship stuff and all that. But that should just make it better. You know, we're going to have a few extra hours in the pub. The atmosphere is going to be the same as the Carabao, if not better. Same as the semi-final, if not better. I imagine it's going to be majority Liverpool fans again, because it always is. And we're out to do something historic.
Yeah, no, I can put you.
And Klopp is the second manager to ever lead us to 4 domestic/major European Cup finals after Bob Paisley, I found out today. So obviously UEFA Cup and European Cup, League Cup and FA Cup was Bob. Europa League, Champions League, FA Cup and League Cup final, he's led us in now.
Brilliant.
Cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is it. You know, the Champions League thing is it's the one. No, that's the big sort
next
of
week it's
prize.
The one.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what this is now. It's, you know, Liverpool, this Liverpool side, we'll worry about that, because again, to the point, we could lose the Champions League final. I want to parade. I want to parade. And they might parade the Carabao Cup at the end of the season. They might do.
Not by itself.
But the... Don't be like that, case they do.
I'd be shocked anyway.
But the,
I'd be shocked as well. But although a lot of people can hold the trophy together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good for parades.
I want a parade. And the only way we're going to guarantee a parade, you know, we can guarantee a parade on Saturday, is go and win the FA Cup and get that box, because they will. Okay. They'll parade the two trophies. Go and get that one. And then, you know what? Worst case scenario is we don't win the Champions League and we can deal with that, because you can lose that in a game. But go and fucking win this box and get a little bit of something to show, because for me, I've said this all along, it's for the fans. Like, Liverpool got to win the league, and the players got to win the league. They got to win the league for themselves. I mean, they've won the Carabao Cup for us, but that's a good start. But more of that, and I want it to be a building momentum.
Am I right in saying the FA Cup hasn't had fans for two seasons as well?
There was 20,000 last season.
Leicester had a few in, but it wasn't full.
It's crap,
yeah, isn't it? Yeah, when they used to be booming full. And like I say, if you're not going to win the league, I always say this, like, just pick trophies up along the way. City and Chelsea in particular have been really good at this. You just keep ticking over with trophies and trophies, because winning breeds winning. Like, getting to finals and winning finals, like, it is, there's something to that. You just keep that momentum going. Like, it'd be so disappointing. I think it's going to be a close game, and I do think we'll win. It's just like you referenced before, like, it and the Super Chat was right, like, don't rest on your laurels. Like, nothing's guaranteed. Yeah, you were in a quad hunt till what? At mid-May, you're still in one technically.
Yeah, nothing's
back.
This is what I'm saying here is, and what we're all kind of saying is, fuck quad talk, fuck treble talk.
Win the FA Cup.
Let's win a double. Let's go and win the fucking cup double, and then anything else will come beyond that. And let's be fucking.
We'll all dream about Helsinki against Rangers. That's fine, but there's going to be time to dream about Rangers in Helsinki.
Yeah, exactly. This is the thing. I've got N Brown here, who's been a member for 10 months, saying there's some season, this historic treble on the way, and it might well be, but we're not there yet. That fucking Champions League final might as well be in another season. You know, this is it. This is the be all and end all now. If we were to win the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup in a season, and I get to go and be in a crowd of thousands of people around the docks and all that celebrating, and go and celebrate this team properly, I will be made up with that.
Yeah, because you're not just celebrating the double, you're celebrating the league with them from a couple of years ago in a mad way, because
yeah, exactly. And that's what we're playing for.
We owe these one as well. From the last time we could have won the domestic double, you referenced that game, they're the ones who stopped us. So we
just briefly touch upon the other action happening this weekend. All the Premier League stuff is on Sunday this week. Tottenham, Burnley, Wolves, Norwich, West Ham hosting Man City, which we of course will pay no attention to. Although it would be nice to be able to watch that for 15 minutes, knowing that Liverpool have won an FA Cup. Watford, Leicester, Leeds, Brighton, Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, the Ev versus Brentford. It's probably the best time ever to play Brentford, because they could not have less to play for at this point in the season. They bottled it big time in midweek against Watford, not beating them. Stay any hope for Brentford in this one?
Yeah, of course there is. Having a crap.
They've got the best fans in the world, though, haven't they?
Honestly.
The cop eye behaviours winning games is working for
them. It's the ones with the, like, you know, 7,000. We talked about the allocations, like 3,500 lads for a start, so there probably wasn't 7,000 of you there. And, you know, best fans in the world and all this. It's like, and then people are just retweeting the videos of them booing them 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. I mean, it's hilarious.
Everton are going to stay up. Everton are going to stay up because Leeds are dog shit. Yeah. That's why Everton, it's nothing to do with Everton, really.
Yeah.
If they'd have beat Watford, that they probably would have been job done. But listen, the flip side of what you're saying there about Brentford being on the beach is that Brentford just play. Like, yeah. They're not going to feel nerves and pressure and all that kind of stuff.
We said this about, like, Gerrard in the week, is there's a bunch of managers who actually could do with currying a little bit of favour with the fan bases of just ending the season on a high.
All of them.
Yeah, there's loads of them. I think there's a couple who would be like, oh well, I'm safe, I'll be sad. Like for example, like, if Newcastle don't win another game for the rest of the season, I don't think it makes Eddie Howe's job more or less secure. They're either going to go and get someone else in, or they're going to.
I think Thomas Frank might be the same. Actually, you're playing with a freedom. So yeah, again, I imagine I thought he'd beat Watford. They should win at home. The home form is what's going to keep them up. Yeah, it's just a shame that Leeds is so bad.
I've got a feeling it's going to go down to the last day of the season for those three sides.
Yeah.
And that something mad is going to happen on the last day of the season.
Gareth Farrelly style moments, pitch invasions and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they can't be at Goodison because, of course, they're away last game of the season.
Yeah, but Arsenal away, that's the could be, I mean, you say that, but they could be Arsenal could already be, bad time this going up. Who knows how they've gone? So I suppose if you're looking at how they're ever get relegated, Tottenham beat Arsenal this evening, and then they've got to go to there, having been through all that. Yeah, there's a lot to play for.
One final super chat before we have score predictions. Leon Geary with €3 says, remember Southampton like losing 9-0, hashtag still dream. Yeah, absolutely. That is very much going to be our speech for the build-up show for Southampton. Rest assured,
Liverpool have got no bad history when they've gone to games chasing goal difference. That's the
I'm genuinely here all day. I could like be this like whole conceit the title stuff. Nah, look, not for me. I
12-0.
Honestly, I am desperate.
Did you see League Two last week?
Yeah. Joey Barton can do it. I'm genuinely desperate for us to get to the last game of the season. I just want this to happen where we need to win 15-0 and just having that, you know what I mean? Just say, just do it, you know, and we win 1-0 and it's there.
Attack, 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 attack.
Yeah, there's a 14 goal difference, and we're 8 up against Wolves, and we're like, can Villa get 6? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Stephen Gerrard
lads in the fucking car like that.
Stephen Gerrard gets sent off to add a couple of minutes of injury time onto the game again. People never reference that with the QPR City game. Is Joey Barton blatantly gets deliberately sent off to add more time on to the end of that? People too busy worrying about Aguero and Balotelli and all that. Joey Barton was the unsung hero, the real hero that day.
There's one more topic that we've not spoken about. The VAR for this game is Paul Tierney.
Yeah, what a fucking gobshite.
That's a bit gutting, that, isn't
it? To the point of he's incredibly inept, so Liverpool are going to have to. I don't think it really affects the like offside thing because it's pretty binary, but if Liverpool are going to do this, we're just going to have to.
I didn't record. Go with the decision on the field.
Yeah.
What do you mean it didn't record?
Sorry, my monitor went off.
It's only 30 days, wait, and then it goes off.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, my power cable got a bit frayed and it just glitched out.
What's that in your hand? Nothing, it's fine.
I was too busy wanking over dogs, that's what you'd be saying. I hate him. What?
This is got a bit Keith Laird here.
Can I not say that on the internet?
Well, of course you can say it.
I mean, okay. He might be a big dog fan.
He definitely is.
On that bombshell. score prediction, Chris Pager.
I'm going to go that it is 2-1 to Liverpool after extra time.
Okay.
1-1 in 90.
1-1, we win on pens.
I think it will be 2-2 and Liverpool win on penalties. Ugh.
Yeah. Don't know, you get your money's worth out of them extortionate Wembley tickets, though, eh?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
to leave about fucking 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Leave us your score predictions. Don't forget to check out the Starting 11 Prediction Show as well. If you want to get more and get closer to the game, do check out Redmen Plus. And also don't forget that Jürgen Klopp's pre-match press conference will be available on our podcasting services for free and YouTube for free as well. So, yeah, don't bother checking it out anywhere else. Come and check it with us. As I say, if you want to also get a bit closer to the game and the build up, get a bit of a cultural feel, it's been 30 years since we won against Sunderland at Wembley in the FA Cup, and I chatted to Michael Thomas. His stories are fascinating stuff, and they are streaming exclusively over on Redmen Plus. Really, really good stuff indeed. Right, gentlemen, thank you so much. History, legendary status, steps lie ahead for Liverpool Football Club and for Liverpool fans. If you're going to Wembley, have a boss one. If you're watching it elsewhere, then don't forget to check out all of our live coverage on the day on YouTube, and yeah, we'll see you there. Ta-da.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.